11-year MLS pro Quincy Mariquois here, and you're now listening to The Perfect Soccer Podcast, where your host goes one-on-one to get to know your favorite professional soccer players, both on and off the pitch. Because how better to learn what it takes to become a pro soccer player other than directly from pro soccer players? Today's episode is brought to you by PerfectSoccerSkills.com, the number one and only platform you'll ever need to connect with and learn from pro soccer players. Learn more and enter to win weekly soccer prizes, goals, balls, jerseys, player meet and greets, and more by heading over to PerfectSoccerSkills.com/PSTM to enter to win for free today. With that said, please enjoy today's episode.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Perfect Soccer Podcast. Our special guest today is Olivia Sacani. Olivia, how's it going?
Going great. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, for sure. Let's just go back in time. What was your first memory of playing soccer?
My first memory of playing soccer was probably my first soccer team ever. It was the Shooting Stars. I was 7 years old. I hated the name because I thought it was like all girly and cutesy, and I wanted to be all tough because I was, you know, a big tough soccer player at the time, being 7 years old with my pigtails. But yeah, and just practicing. My dad was the assistant coach, and just being out at practice at our local park, practicing with my dad and all the other girlies on the Shooting Stars.
Nice. And then I guess going into high school, were you always a goalkeeper?
Yeah. So one of the other early memories that I have of soccer was we were doing a drill where you had to get the ball. It was like a relay race, and you had to go out to a line, dribble the ball, turn around, dribble back, and the first person to get the ball back across the line on the other side of like where you started at would win. And I wasn't very fast, so I just like got to the other side, and the other girl was like already halfway back, and so I just kicked the ball as hard as I could, and I got the ball back across. Yeah. Across the line first, and I won. But that was when I realized that, like, yeah, maybe the whole like running around thing wasn't for me. And I was always pretty tall, so I was from literally like my first ever soccer season, I was in goal, and I absolutely loved it that way. Did not want to play on the field. So
for sure, no, that makes sense. Yeah. So going into your high school career, I guess what was your recruiting process like?
My recruiting process was interesting. So. I was definitely a late bloomer. Like I grew, I think like three inches in high school, and then another inch like my freshman year of college, and just like physically growing into my body. I was very, very lanky and stuff at the earlier stages of high school, when a lot of the girls were getting recruited to the top tier Division I programs that I wanted to go to. So I ended up actually being one of the last, or the last girl in my recruiting class at Cal, which is where I went initially to commit. I committed, I think, summer between my sophomore and junior year of high school. And I've been talking to a few different schools. Again, I wasn't nearly where I was at the end of high school as a player when I started out my recruiting process. So I had to do a lot of legwork to get myself in front of the coaches that I wanted to be in front of. And I was going to a lot of recruiting camps and ID camps and things like that. And I was talking to a few different schools. But then Cal eventually came on my radar because the goalkeeper that they had committed for my year, and usually with goalkeepers, there's like maximum one per class, per recruiting class that you commit. So Cal had been like off my list for a while because they had a girl committed since like eighth grade. And so, yeah, which was crazy. But, that girl, I had heard kind of through the grapevine that girl had decommitted. So there was a spot open, and Cal was like in my backyard, like 45 minutes away from where I grew up. And it checked a lot of boxes for me: good academic school, big football school, Pac-12 soccer program. And so, I, again, like did some legwork, leveraged some connections that I had, through, you know, like my personal goalkeeper coach who had some connections at the program, and got myself into a camp. Got in front of the coaches, and then everything kind of progressed from there. Went on a visit and committed, and then signed obviously my senior year when signing day is, but yeah, committed that summer. And yeah, that was kind of my recruiting process in a nutshell.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you kind of mentioned it. Is it, do you think it's harder to get recruited as a goalkeeper than a position player?
I think it can be. And I think one of the best things that I did for myself, and obviously, like I said, like I wasn't on a team at the time that was getting attention from the coaches that I wanted to get attention from. And I also just wasn't like hitting my full, like I wasn't at my full potential. And I knew that, at that time, like in order to get in front of the coaches that I wanted to get in front of, I had to go to camps. And I think as a goalkeeper, that's so valuable because in a game you get maybe like, sometimes maybe you have a great game where you have a lot of action coming your way, but a lot of the times you don't touch the ball enough for coaches to make a good enough assessment of what you were like as a player. So unless they're coming and watching you warm up and do all this other stuff, or they're coming out to training and seeing, or you send them training footage and all these other things, like just coaches coming to your games may not give them enough context for what you're actually like as a player. So I think that like one of the biggest pieces of advice that I give to young goalkeepers who are going through the recruiting process now is go to camps, because it gives them a much broader body of work to look at over the course of that camp. And you can oftentimes like work with the goalkeeper coach one-on-one, because yeah, it can be really, really hard as a goalkeeper. When you're only touching the ball maybe like 5, 6, 7 times in the entire game for a coach to get an idea of what you're actually like. So
yeah, no, for sure. I guess what was your time? I know you transferred from Cal to Washington. Just like, what was your whole college experience? Like, I know you were in college for 6 years.
Five and a half. My college experience was not what I thought it would be. That's for sure. I've always been a like planning type of a person. When I was leaving high school, I had a very specific plan set out for myself, and I had you always think you're like, this is exactly how this is going to go, and I have it all set out, and it just never goes that way. That's kind of just the story of my life and my career. My time at Cal was not at all what I had pictured. It was not a healthy environment. And, just as a person and as a player, it was not a good place to be. And I ended up, I loved the school so much. And I loved being in Berkeley. And like I said before, like the fantastic academic institution. And I was lucky enough to have taken some AP courses in high school and taken some summer classes so that I could graduate early. I graduated in 3 years so that I could maximize the amount of time that I had left to go try to play somewhere else, but still get my degree from Cal. So like those 3 years at Cal were not at all like I had pictured them, but then it also then kind of forced my hand and made me enter the transfer portal and end up at Washington, which I firmly believe is exactly where I was supposed to end up. I had a complete 180 in terms of my experience with the soccer program at Washington, and had a great 3 seasons there. Felt like I was a completely different player, completely different person for the better, once I got up to Seattle. So, as much as, again, things did not turn out the way that I had pictured them and laid them all out when I was graduating high school for what I thought my college career was going to look like, I definitely think I ended up right where I was supposed to be when I went up to Washington. So
yeah, for sure. What degrees did you graduate with?
My undergraduate degree was in pre-law. So legal studies. Yeah. So law school is definitely still on the table for, either part-time while I'm playing or after I'm done playing. And then
want to be a lawyer?
Well, so I always wanted to be a professional soccer player, right. But I recognize that unfortunately, my body's not going to be able to do this for forever. So, I think that, the law has always really interested me. My mom was an attorney my whole childhood, and I was actually a judge. And so getting to see the work that she's done and all the people that she's helped through her work has been really inspiring. And I think that that's definitely a path that I could see myself going down after I'm done playing. So, cool. And then my master's degree is communications. My dad jokes that I got a master's degree in soccer because I wasn't super picky in terms of what I wanted to get a master's in. I just knew I wanted to, I had to keep going to school to keep playing college soccer. So But actually, yeah, my comm lead program at Washington was also great and gave me a lot of other cool stuff to work with too. But yeah. Good.
For sure. Yeah. That I got a master's in communication just because it was like, I was like, might as well get my master's because I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I was like,
Exactly. It's widely applicable. You can do a lot of things with it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So
sure. Going back to what you said you always wanted to be a pro soccer player. What about like, was there an instance either in college or high school that you knew you could be a pro soccer player?
Yeah. I mean, I think definitely. I think I always kind of knew from when I made my mind up about it when I was like 11 or 12 that I was going to find a way to make it happen. You know, thankfully now there's like, I'm so fortunate to have been able to play in the NWSL like my rookie year because it's so elite and like one of the top leagues in the world, if not the top league in the world. But, you know, even if that's not where you start out, now there's so many more opportunities than there ever have been to play professionally at some level for us on the women's side that I think, you know, like even when things weren't going great, like I knew that I was going to make it happen one way or another, you know? So, yeah. But I don't know that there were necessarily like moments. Yeah. Maybe getting called up to like my first youth national team camp and stuff like that. Like I was like, okay, I can do this. I can make a go of this, or like, you know, getting a record at Washington or like something like that. But again, I just always kind of had a sense that one way or another, I was going to figure it out and make it happen.
Yeah, for sure. What was that experience like playing for the USA?
Youth national team was so cool. My stint with it was brief. It was only a year, but like, that was another dream, you know, grow up watching the youth or the US women's national team and seeing them wear the crest. And I told myself and I made a promise to myself that like, I was never going to buy anything that had the US crest on it, like until I had earned it, until I had gotten to play for one of the youth national teams. And then of course, once I did, I bought so much stuff, but yeah. But so no, it was a really, really cool experience. And I actually ended up meeting a lot of people that I still know and am friends with. And really coincidentally, so when you get to the NWSL, most of the teams have player housing. And they just kind of like will randomly place you wherever they have an opening in their apartment complex or whatever, like with other players, obviously. And the roommate that I ended up getting placed with was a girl that I went to youth national team camps with. And like, we knew each other from that. So like, that was another cool connection. There's still a lot of girls that, you know, I follow on social media and we all, some are still playing, some are not. And like, it's cool to just see where everybody ended up.
Yeah, for sure. And then this year was the draft and you entered it, but unfortunately you weren't selected, but you did end up signing with Racing St. Louis. Yeah. I meant
Louisville. You got it. You're good.
Louisville. Racing Louisville FC. So I guess like, what was that experience like? And then like, I guess, yeah, overall, like how was your rookie season?
Yeah. I mean, obviously entering the draft and not getting picked was a bummer. That sucked. Again, though, like, I mean, I've been through so much stuff in my career and been told no so many times and hit so many, my college coach at Washington would always say speed bumps, not roadblocks. I've had my fair share of speed bumps in my career. So as much as it sucked, not getting drafted again, I knew that like one way or another, whether it was going into preseason with the team and earning a contract that way here in the US or going abroad, like I was going to figure out a way to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And so, it was a few days after the draft and I was looking at some overseas options and talking to some coaches and stuff over there when I got a text from Sergio, who is our goalkeeper coach at Racing Louisville. And he had actually recruited me when I was in the transfer portal. At the time, he was a coach at University of Indiana and he was recruiting me to try to come play for him there. And, he texted me and just said, hey, you know, what would you think about coming down to Louisville for preseason with us? And I said, absolutely, I will be there. And I think it was like a Tuesday. And he was like, great. Well, we start training and everything on Monday. So just get down here as fast as you can. So I did. And, preseason was was awesome. And, you know, just my whole, I mean, my whole experience in Louisville this year was really, really incredible. And like, I think to kind of go back to like, though, what you were saying earlier about, you know, moments where you know that you could be a pro, or like where it kind of clicked for you that it would work out that way. Like, obviously going in as a rookie, you're really nervous. You've never played at that level. Like, I had trained a couple of times with OO Rain just over the summer while I was back in Seattle, just during college, to kind of get a feel for things. But it's different when you're going in and you're actually being evaluated and stuff. But as I kind of got my footing a little bit more in training camp with Louisville during preseason, and I started to succeed in that environment more and more. That was a really, really important confidence building moment for me, or time in my career for me, because it was confirmation of what I had kind of believed all those years as a kid and going through high school and college, where I was like, okay, like this is big time, but like, I can do this. Like, I'm here. I've worked hard. I'm good enough to be here. So that was a very affirming experience for me. And I'm, again, really glad that it happened in Louisville, because like, the coaches were amazing. Working with Serge was awesome. Has been awesome. And like, all my teammates were so, so supportive. And you know, that continued not just through preseason, but then ultimately, you know, after I signed and throughout the season. But there was also still, though, a lot of uncertainty when I went in. They told me, you know, there might be a contract, there might not be at the end of preseason. We just don't know. It's a numbers thing. Mm-hmm. And obviously too, I was kind of an unknown. They didn't know exactly what they were going to get. And that kind of happens with a lot of rookies. But you know, I worked my butt off and had a really good preseason, and, you know, was fortunate enough that some things within the organization, within the club, worked out for there to be an opportunity for me to end up signing a contract. And yeah, rookie season again, like, couldn't have asked for anything more, especially from, you know, where I started out with it. So great experience.
Enjoy learning what it takes to become a better player from professional soccer players? Well, how would you like to work with professional players one-on-one? Now you can, with Be Pro by Perfect Soccer. Head over to perfectsoccerskills.com/BEPRO to apply to work with our network of pro players today.
All this, since talking to you, like, where does all your motivation come from? I know your dad was a former baseball player as well, pro baseball player.
Yeah, I mean, obviously my dad's a huge, huge inspiration for me and has been since I was a kid. And he's, having him around has always been awesome, because he just gets it. Like, he understands what it takes. He understands the strain and the stress and, you know, just the feelings associated with being a high level athlete all the way through. You know, I mean, he did the high school thing, he did the college thing, and he did the pro thing, like, all, every step of my journey. Like, obviously he didn't play soccer, but it's similar. It's the same sort of mentality. So having him around and, you know, yeah, knowing everything that he accomplished, and unfortunately, you know, his career was cut pretty short by an injury, and that always, you know, is just so awful. But, you know, getting to do what I do and what I love has never been, like, that privilege has never been lost on me because of what he went through and how hard he worked and how badly he wanted it. And the fact that then it was, you know, like, taken away from him and he couldn't do it anymore was obviously so, so tragic and difficult. And so I just, it's always been good perspective from that sense for me. And then also too, my brother is coming up, my baby brother's a very high level high school baseball player. He's getting recruited and stuff right now. So, you know, trying to set a good example for him has always been a big motivating factor for me as well.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. All right, ready for the Quincy questions?
Let's do it.
All right. What's the most important skill or quality you feel has made you successful as a pro player?
I would say tenacity and just, again, like, perseverance through those, you know, not roadblocks, but speed bumps. Because again, like, you're going to have an idea of how things are going to go in your head, but like, you can talk to almost any pro player out there. Like, things have not gone the way that they had always pictured to get them to where they're at. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to, you know, like, acknowledge and have a good idea of the fact that things are going to be hard, and if you want it bad enough, you're going to find a way to push through it, and you just have to find a way to push through it. And I think that going through a lot of the things that I went through earlier on in my career, through high school, through college, put me in a really good position to be able to deal with then speed bumps and things that I encountered in my first year as a pro. Because, you know, it's not, there are plenty of girls and players in general, it's just not even just players on the women's side, that, you know, kind of skyrocket to the pro level, you know, through their youth career. They're highly touted as like the next big thing, and then they hit a speed bump and they don't know what to do with it because they've never had speed bumps in their career before. So I would say, yeah, tenacity and perseverance to be able to push through the hard stuff is so important, because it's not if, it's when, like, it's inevitable that it's going to happen. So you got to just be able to find a way to grind through it, or you're not going to make it.
Yeah, definitely. What's the biggest mistake you think pro players are making?
I don't know if I'm fully qualified to answer that as a, you know, just a rookie, or these, like, a rookie, recently graduated rookie. Yeah, exactly. But I'll kind of regurgitate a piece of advice or a statement that was made to me by some of the older players, one of the veterans on my team this year. I think especially on the women's side, there's a sort of sense of, especially again amongst younger players, there's a sense of like being thankful for what we have, like just being grateful to be here and to be able to do what we're doing, and then not pushing for more in terms of, you know, like representation and quality of facilities, quality of travel situation, like all these different things. You know, we don't speak out, or a lot of us are less likely to speak out and advocate for ourselves and advocate for, you know, equal conditions that the men get and all these other things, because we're just so stoked to be here at all. And like one of my, I don't even remember exactly what the circumstance was, but, you know, I said something to that effect, and one of the older players, one of the veterans, kind of scolded me about it. And I was like, oh boy. Cause she was like, no, we've fought so hard to get to where we're at and to do all these things so that like you guys can then, not just so that you guys can be content and sit where you're at. We fought that hard so that you guys can keep pushing and get it to where it needs to be and to where it's supposed to be. And that's, you know, getting the equal footing that you deserve. So like, don't ever, ever be afraid to advocate for yourself just because you feel like it's just a privilege to be there at all. Like we deserve to be treated with the dignity and respect that should be afforded to all professional athletes. And, you know, that shouldn't be limited by our gender or what we have currently. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, from the outside looking in, it looks like NWSL is growing and growing, and then like all these celebrities investing in it. Like I know, I think there's more teams coming too. I do a lot of stuff in the WNBA too, and I hear it all the time. Like they go from the D1 programs to the WNBA, and it's like a downgrade for them, like travel wise and things like that. And it's like crazy to hear that. You know, colleges. I mean, it kind of makes sense. Not that it makes sense. But it makes sense because the colleges are so rich, and you know, they get so much money. So,
oh yeah,
it kind of like to that extent. Like, it doesn't make sense in terms of obviously the pros should be the same, but you know what I mean.
No, I totally get it. Yeah, no, the same thing happens on the soccer side. Like, girls that are coming from these big like SEC schools get in, and like our facilities, I will say, like our facilities at Louisville and everything were phenomenal because it's one of the newer teams in the league, and so like everything's brand new.
Yeah.
And they take great care of us. Like that's not a, you know, like a dig by any means at racing. Like they were great, but like just that, yeah. Like overall in the league, yeah. Like never stop. Yeah. I guess never stop fighting for, what you deserve because you feel like you should just be content with what you already have. So.
Yeah. Overall, I think, the women's sports is growing, especially like soccer and basketball.
Oh, absolutely. It's so fun. Like it's so fun to be a part of it right now. Like you're saying, like it's growing so fast, and like, yeah, there's so much celebrity investment, and there's so much, like they're adding teams constantly, and like, the buzz around it is just growing and growing every year. So it's a really cool time to be a part of all of that. But then at the same time, yeah, we can't lose sight of like underlying stuff that still needs to be addressed, and making sure that, yeah, everything as fast as it's growing is being done the right way.
Yeah, definitely. I know you gave a lot of advice already, but what advice did you give to a young player trying to make a pro league or trying to get a scholarship?
Trying to get a scholarship. Again, not to like totally repeat myself, but like the best piece of blanket advice I think that I can give is like, just don't be discouraged because something doesn't turn out exactly the way you had it planned out in your head, or it doesn't look the way that you thought it was going to look. Like I said, like my college career, if you had asked me what my college career was going to look like my last day of high school on my senior year, I would never have been able to tell you. I would never have said that I was going to transfer. I never would have said like any of the things that were going to end up happening would have happened. But that doesn't mean like I still got here. I still got where I wanted to go. And, you know, same thing, honestly, in the recruiting process. Like I always, when I was in high school and middle school and stuff, I always wanted to go to Stanford. That was my dream, like my whole career, my whole life. And that didn't work out. And that sucked. But that door closing opened up other doors for me that got me to where I was supposed to go. And I don't know. I mean, obviously you can play the what if game for forever, but like, who knows, if I went to Stanford, I could have gotten hurt. I might've gotten benched. Something else could have happened that wouldn't have landed me where I'm at today. So like, just because it did, yeah, again, just because it doesn't look exactly how you pictured it doesn't mean that it's wrong and that it's not going to still end up being exactly what you want at the end of it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Why are you passionate about soccer?
Why am I passionate about soccer? I think there's so many reasons to be passionate about soccer. I mean, obviously it's the world's most popular game, no matter what people in the US try to say about it. But no matter how many Americans will argue you on that, it's clearly undeniable. But yeah, I mean, I think that just there's so many beautiful things about it. It's so uniting. Like so many people are brought together through soccer. I mean, I've met some of the most incredible people in my entire that I've ever known in my whole life. Like so many of my nearest and dearest friends through soccer. It can be so empowering. Like, I mean, that's, I think for me, that's sports in general. Like it can be so empowering, give you such a sense of like efficacy and strength and work ethic and so many other important things. I would say from like a more personalized note, like being a goalkeeper in particular, like one of the most intoxicating feelings and things is like making a big save and just getting up from that and just the adrenaline rush and just feeling fucking invincible. Oh, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse.
No, you're good.
just getting up from making a big save and you just have this sense of like invincibility, especially in situations where like it feels like all hope is lost, everybody on the team is like, oh man, they're gonna score, and you just come up big in that moment. Like being able to come up big for your teammates, for those people that you care about, in situations where everybody expects you to fail and for you to not be able to make it happen, is like one of the most incredible feelings that I've ever experienced in my whole life. And like I think I kind of am just always chasing that feeling.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, these next two could be either, you could answer them soccer related or life related.
Okay.
What is something most people think is true that you believe isn't?
Something that most people think is true that I believe isn't. I would say, with regard to soccer. You know, there's a lot of people that think that like, being a professional athlete, relatively speaking, is like a cushy job, which like a lot of those people don't have great perspective on like what athletics is really like, or maybe haven't been athletes at a super high level. But yeah, like it's what a lot of people don't understand is that especially as you get to like the professional level, it's a 24/7 job. Like when you're not on the pitch, you are still thinking about recovery, you're thinking about everything you're eating, you're thinking about sleep, you're thinking about, you know, you have travel stuff going on that you got to take care of. Like there's there are so many different things. Like you're not a pro just for the 2 or 3 hours a day that you're training. You're a pro all day, every day. And that's something that I think a lot of people don't understand, and that like definitely it can be exhausting. Like it definitely takes a toll, and like that's why it's so important to, you know, have time for yourself and take R&R where you can get it. And like the off season is really, really important for that reason. But yeah, I think that that's a common misconception, is that, you know, like we're just out here, you know, living a cush, easy life. And as much as it is amazing that I get to, that's not to say that, yeah, like I get to do what I love every day. I get to play a game at the end of the day. That's what it is. But at the same time, it's definitely, I would not say it's an easy lifestyle by any means.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I always bring it up. I think like fans like forget that you guys like travel all the time, which is like crazy to me when I think about it. And so like, that's like one thing I always think about. And like, even like baseball is a perfect example, like 162 games. Like imagine, like I can't even imagine, like you're on the road like every day.
Nuts. It's nuts. Yeah. And like traveling, it just occurred to me not that long ago that I was like, oh yeah, normal people aren't in an airport as much as I am. Like normal people go to the airport like maybe once or twice a year. Yeah. I'm in the airport like 2 or 3 times a month. Yeah. Or like I fly 2 or 3 times to different places 2 or 3 times a month. I'm in the airport like all the time.
what would be something you would move forward with, or you weren't scared of what would happen if things didn't go well?
Something I would move forward with. This is a toughie. I thought about this one for a while. I guess I would say I've been wanting to lean into more of doing the social media stuff that I have done a little bit in the past. I think that, you know, like as much as there's so many things about the internet that are not so great, like social media and the internet can be really powerful, again, unifying tools, and give people a great sense of community and, be very informative. Like, I think there's a lot of great things about that. And I think that, you know, like creators on social media can be a really great part of that. And I think that, yeah, like I would like to, I think in the future and over the next year or so, like, start to lean into that more and see if I can, use the influence and the platform that I have to help better the community, better the soccer community, help other people that are kind of wanting to take a similar path to what I did. And, I guess I'm, I don't know. Sometimes I get a little chicken about it, cause it can be intimidating to, you know, put yourself out there in front of, you know, ultimately like whoever in the world wants to see it. But, I think that it could be a cool thing for me to really, really lean into.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Content creation, definitely not easy. And that's it. I feel like every year it's getting like leveling up, like everyone has to like level up their content, like every, not even every year,
all the time.
Every couple months, like
all the time. Yeah. It's crazy out there.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Ready for these last couple of fun questions?
Let's do it.
All right. Is it soccer or football?
That's painful. I mean, realistically, it's football. Like if we're being 100% real with ourselves, it's football. I grew up obviously playing soccer, but it just makes more sense. Like you just, yeah. Yeah, it's football. And like all my international teammates would kill me if I said soccer, but I mean, I did grow up calling it soccer, but I really would like to call it football all the time.
For sure. All right, is it goalkeeper or goalie?
Goalkeeper. Goalies play hockey. I stand by that.
I like that. Messi or Ronaldo?
Messi.
All right.
Unbelievable.
Last one. Who would you want to do a jersey exchange with that you never did one with? And pick a male player and a female player.
Oh, can it be like any era?
Yeah, anybody.
Okay. One of my like goalkeeping idols growing up was Peter Schmeichel, who played for Man United and like the Danish national team. One of my first goalkeeper coaches, or really my first goalkeeper coach ever, he like idolized the man. And so he would always tell me to go home and watch Schmeichel. And I did. And I would watch all his clips on YouTube and I would try to emulate the way that he played. And so that would be like, yeah, classic late 90s, early 2000s. Schmeichel would be my male player. And then female player, that's so tough. I mean, yeah, I think the obvious answer is Hope Solo, because, you know, she was the player that I watched all throughout my childhood, again, that I idolized, had a poster up on my wall of her, like all of that. She played at Washington, too, which was awesome.
The records?
Yeah. The single, yeah, I know. The single season goals against average, I did nab that one. Yeah, but and she came and watched one of our tournament games in North Carolina. She lives out there now, I guess. And she came and watched one of our tournament games while we were playing out there in that weird spring COVID season of 2021, which was the season that I broke that record. So that was a pretty cool, like, full circle moment for her to be like in the stands watching me. But yeah, Hope Solo would probably be the one that I would want to switch with on the women's side.
Yeah, for sure. Do a lot of people try to get the goalie jerseys since they're different than the regular ones?
Yeah, kind of. Like, I've had a fair amount of people after games ask me for my jersey. And, you know, we're only allowed to give out a finite number every year, so I have to be pretty stingy with it. And a lot of times, like, I don't think the Racing Louisville ones, like, they don't sell those online. A lot of goalkeeper jerseys, and I know like Mary Earps just did a whole big coup and all of that because Nike wasn't even selling like the national team goalkeeper jerseys, which I think is crazy. But yeah, no, people definitely try to get me to give out my jersey. So sorry. Yeah. Sorry about it. If I denied you, I promise I would love to give out as many as I could, but I simply cannot without infuriating my equipment manager, which is not something I want to do.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, I appreciate you coming on, and could you let the listeners know where they can follow you on social media?
Yeah, definitely. I'm at @Liv_Sakani on pretty much every platform. So yeah, go follow me. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, this was fun.
Quincy Mariquois here, and thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to share it with someone you feel will get some value from it. And if you could take a moment to leave a review of our podcast wherever you're listening and let us know who you'd like us to interview next, we'll get working on that right away. You can listen to this full episode and more at perfectsoccerskills.com/radio. That's perfectsoccerskills.com/RADIO. You can also enter to win free weekly soccer prizes, goals, balls, jerseys, player meet and greets, and more by heading over to perfectsoccerskills.com/PSTM to enter to win for free today.